This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don Sweeney today. Bruins moved their practice, right? They're supposed to have practice in the morning. They moved it to, like, later in the day, I think.
Yeah.
Scoops Keefe threw everything all asunder. Changed the whole schedule of the day. As listen, Scoops Keefe, a force of nature. What are you going to do when he comes on the air dropping bombs like that? It's going to mess up your whole program. Anyway, Don Sweeney talking about the offer that was made. That was one of many big quotes that you heard there. Another one that I thought was interesting was how he said that they knew right away they were going to go with Sacco as the interim coach. There was no interest in a coaching search. They knew they had the guy that they wanted for now. And I wonder what the plan is there, because there's some guys on the... We talked about Quenneville yesterday. Daryl Sutter, who's like a million years old, but he's out there too. He's a potential guy if you want to go that direction, who's out on the street right now, who's had a lot of success in the NHL. So I think he was the coach with the Kings, right, when they won? Yeah. Big Mike's back
yes.
there. Nodding his head. So, like, he's a guy who's got some experience. Quenneville's got three Stanley Cups. So, like, you know, there's other names and other options, guys who are looking for work. But they're going with Sacco, and they're going to ride that out for the rest of the season. I think that's not a bad thing. I mean, when you fire a coach this early in the season, generally you're going interim. But you're also early enough in the season that if you wanted to start fresh with an outside hire, it wouldn't be that disruptive. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing if you fire a coach near the end of the season and then you hire somebody else to coach the last month or whatever. You have 60-plus games to go, and you knew all along, no, we're sticking with this guy in-house who was part of this coaching staff that's failing so miserably. You know what I mean? Like, am I wrong to be looking into that?
So, I don't think you're wrong. I think these situations, you should think about everything. The more options you pass up, we spent yesterday talking about it with the Patriots and sort of the options
right.
they passed up on to stick to some very narrow plan of attack. But Sacco was he's been here a decade. He gets promoted to associate head coach. The thing I don't know, and maybe you know the answer to this, I don't know, Scott, is that an organizational decision or is that a Montgomery decision? Did Montgomery promote him or does the organization promote him? Because if it's an organizational decision, that tells you right there, like, they thought he was deserving of an elevated spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's kind of progressing, taking on a bigger role. He had some comments about it I was reading, you know, when it happened.
That sounds like a Neely thing, doesn't it?
Kind of.
Yeah, it sounds like a Neely thing.
So if he wants him promoted, doesn't that make him not exactly the coach in waiting like Mayo, but kind of the next in line more formally?
Yeah.
You've elevated him from the other guys. And I think that's where you go. I mean, you wanted him to have an elevated role. Now it didn't work out with Montgomery. He's the obvious candidate. Because if you go outside the organization, what are you getting? Like, this is an overly simple-minded view, but aren't most of the good coaches working?
Yes.
Like, if you're out of work, there's a reason you're out of work. I was even reading a story from someone on The Athletic about, could teams fire their coaches to get Montgomery? Like, Montreal, St. Louis, they listed four teams that might consider moving on from their current head coach to get Jim Montgomery.
Yeah, hey, there's a lot of bad teams in the NHL. You know, like there's plenty of opportunities.
But that tells
there.
You, you had a coach that at least league wide has a certain view cachet, and I just don't know how much value there is in doing a coaching search right now and going outside the organization. Shit. Now, I still have reservations about how much Sacco can change things when you were here and had every opportunity to change things right. from within the building. And you were running the PK and the PK state, like all these things there. So, but I think it's, this is the obvious move. It's the, I mean, more often than not, this is how it works.
Yeah. Generally, this is what happens. I'm looking back to see how soon after Claude got named head coach of the Canadiens right away, right? Like, I think that he got fired in February. And then was hired by the Canadiens like a week later.
It was pretty quick.
Right? Because they fired him during the Patriots parade, didn't they?
Yes.
Or something.
I believe it was
after they won the Super Bowl. Yeah, so it was 2017. So it was after the Falcons Super Bowl is when they fired him. I think it was during the parade. And then he had a new job within that week. He had a job a week later. I don't remember exactly how it went down with Bruce Cassidy, but I think it was similar. You're talking about a guy who gets fired and then picked up very soon afterwards. 8 days after getting fired by the Bruins, Cassidy was hired by the Golden Knights. So within a week, these last two guys who got fired by Don Sweeney, by the way, Jack Adams Award winners, and this is now on the fourth one now because Sacco's a Jack Adams. I don't know if he won it or if he was a finalist, but this is the fourth crack you have at this.
I thought you were going to call Don Sweeney a jackass.
Pretty well-respected
Don Sweeney,
coach.
Jack Adams.
Called him worse probably, but that's sort of the point is that most GMs don't get the opportunity to fire three coaches who are all Jack Adams finalists, or winners, I should say, and no Stanley Cups, right?
Like, probably not.
When you get to your fourth coach, who's also, you know, pretty well-respected and well-regarded, and if it doesn't work out with him, you got to move on from him and bring in somebody, and now you're on your fifth coach with zero cut, you know? Like, eventually it doesn't add up, you know? Like, you got to do something about this.
And I
or
think
at least
Sweeney
acknowledge the fact that it's not the coach,
right? I think Sweeney gets that. Yeah. I think that was the acknowledgement by him today that next is players, and then it's organizational. Then it's you're talking about the organization getting shook up because there's also this, and I saw it come across my Twitter timeline, but I didn't read the story. There's this kind of along your lines, this idea that window has closed, the Bruins as we know them might be running out of time, like this sort of that there's a certain generation here that may have run its course with Sweeney and with Neely and with Bergeron and Marchand and sort of the talent and all of that together that didn't really win, hasn't won in a long time, and now might be time to look in a different direction, in a more modern direction or a more, quite honestly, productive direction.
Yeah.
Maybe make a few more runs. But if you do that, that's like the red button that you have to open the thing and it needs two codes because if you push it, there's
both got to turn the key at the same time. Right,
there's no going back.
Yeah,
like that's a big decision. That's a Jacobs decision. That's,
right. Oh,
that's
definitely a Jacobs.
You know, that's
decision.
A big picture. We're really going to go in a different direction. But I think you're right. The idea that you keep firing coaches, well, maybe it's not the coach.
Yeah.
Even though nobody told me the roster stunk until after the coach stunk.
Yeah.
I still go back to that.
Of all people, remember John Scott?
Yes.
That big goon who used to just beat. He's the only guy that I ever really saw beat the bag out of Sean Thornton.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of people who can say they ever did that. John Scott did it. John Scott basically beat up everybody he ever fought. He was this monster of a guy. He tweeted this 2 hours ago, and I've never felt this close to John Scott in my entire life. He says, the NHL has a problem. Former players are put into these management positions and get given the keys to the kingdom. So many of them underdeliver, but they get away with a longer leash because of who they were as players and how much they're beloved by the fan base. John Scott.
So true.
Reading my mind.
He basically, that's what we talked about for a segment earlier. Like, because they're great players, does that mean they deserve the opportunities? A, the first opportunity to run the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of that. Like, remember when Matt Millen just went from TV right to the Lions and was terrible?
I do remember
he
that.
He would burn a top five pick year after year after. Remember he's
a wide receiver every
three
year,
wide
right?
receivers. Yeah. They all sucked. Like, the whole thing.
Rodgers, Roy Williams, and who was it?
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, yeah, not Roy Williams. And
Fat Mike Williams after he had to sit out a year.
Right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, he was brutal.
But there's so many examples of that across sports that. And Scott's right. Like, because you were a great player, does that mean anything? Not really. It really doesn't mean anything. I think we've all had discussions with athletes that were really good in their sports that you're like, wow, that guy's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. He just does it. Like,
there was Roy Williams. Roy Williams, wide receiver Roy Williams.
Yeah, but also Mike Williams.
Yeah, Charles Rogers, Roy Williams, then Mike Williams. Three
Charles
straight
Rogers
years.
Broke. Remember, he was super skinny?
Yeah.
And I think, like, his collarbone broke. He was very breakable, I feel like.
He was awesome in college.
Yeah,
Charles Rogers is one of my favorite college players of all time.
See, Mike Williams was one of mine. Do you remember in the back of the end zone at USC, he would just grab the ball and then just hold it up. He'd never tuck it away. He'd just be like, I'm the biggest badass on the field. You can't take it from me.
Yeah.
And then he skipped a year with Maurice Claret. And he got fat, and he was never good again.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad.
Yeah. And then a couple years later, they drafted Calvin Johnson, and he's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, sometimes you just miss. 617-779-7937. Charlie McAvoy spoke today. And this clip has been circulating all over Twitter. It's given Bruins fans some hope. If you thought this was a hopeless season, maybe Charlie McAvoy will change your mind.
We lost it. We lost it for a minute. And this is life. And these things happen. You know, but today you wake up and you realize that you still have the best job in the world, playing for the best team in the world, the best organization in this game. I'm lucky and I'm blessed to be here, and today was a day of gratification, you know, self-reflection, and then realizing that, holy, we have 62 games left and we're still in a playoff spot or somewhere near it. So we got everything to play for, and that's the crest, that's each other, that's everything, and it's all going to be all right.
What did he say? That's the crafts?
The
I was wondering, crafts. Too, what he's... Crafts?
Crest, no. Maybe?
Well, the crest?
I don't know. Play it again.
Because the crafts don't own the team.
No, they don't.
Yeah. It's like, we really want to impress those crafts.
Craft services?
Okay. Realizing that, holy, we have 62 games left, and we're still in a playoff spot or somewhere near it. So we got everything to play for, and that's the crest, that's each other, that's...
The crest.
That's everything.
Crest. Yeah, the crest and the chow. Okay,
that's the B, right? The spoked B.
Yeah, the spoked B, of course.
Okay.
It's a day of gratification.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Did he mean to say that, maybe?
It felt like somebody gave him a script of things to say. It made no sense. It was a little Missoula-esque. Some Missoula existential crap stuff mixed in there. But what the hell is he talking about?
He's trying to pick up the pieces, I think. Right? He's a leader on the team. He's a high-paid player, and he's trying to say, hey, we're going to turn it around now. You know, this is something that is affecting us, and we recognize the moment, and we're going to try and be better. That's what it sounds like to me. But he said it in a very kind of...
terrible way.
I don't know if it was a terrible way, but it was a little...
Are you ready to go out and prove something after listening to that? Like,
not really. It wasn't exactly a run-through-a-wall type of speech there, but it is... at the very least, acknowledgement of what happened, and we have a lot to play for, and we're going to go out there and be bad.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, but not well. We're in the playoffs or kind of near.
We're near the
maybe
playoffs.
Maybe close. We're playoff tangential.
Playoff adjacent.
Like, I thought that was terrible. And I blame him as one of the reasons that Jim Montgomery is the ex-coach of the Bruins. I think McAvoy's been bad for like 8 months, spanning a summer in between. I do not think he's been very good.
What do you do in the summer?
No, I don't. That's why I said spanning the summer.
Like, I see.
There's
okay.
a bridge over the summer. I can't, you know, he was probably a good dude and a good dad or whatever he is, boyfriend, husband. All that's fine. But at the end of last
going
hockey
too fast
season.
In the no wake zone or something?
Like. Maybe. I bet you.
Something like
based
that.
Based on the way he has played the end of last season, the beginning of this season. But yeah, that was terrible.
Terrible.
I thought Marchand was much better. I thought Marchand was much more...
I think Marchand's a little more seasoned when it comes to that stuff.
Self-aware and seasoned. Yeah.
The
tone was more accurate and appropriate.
Let's listen to Brad Marchand and how he dealt with the news of Jim Montgomery's firing.
Let go and the accountability that you guys feel here.
Yeah, very disappointing day. You know, also very frustrating. This is a reflection of our you know, our play, and it was avoidable, and I think that's the tough part about this, is that if we would have done our job in here, you know, he'd still be around, and we also feel terrible as a group, individually, that, you know, we let a really good coach and a really good person down, you know, and the effect it has, not just on him, but on his family, you know, so, yeah, it's a crappy day.
I liked that better.
It wasn't much about the rest of the season.
No.
It was all about Monty's a great guy and we let him down and we need to, you know, that type of stuff.
But I think that was more appropriate for today.
Mm.
That's today. That's basically, and I'm sorry we got you fired, Monty.
Yeah.
We suck. We should all be fired with you. Yeah. That's what that was.
You have to say all that? I mean.
No, I think that was between those lines in there.
Yeah.
But the half-assed like speech about rallying the troops and moving forward that McAvoy gave did nothing. And he clearly wasn't ready to do it. Early, the beginning of that felt like a hostage video or something. Like, you got to go out there and say something.
The lighting
something.
In the video is very odd, too, right? Yeah. Like, it was
the whole thing's weird.
Yeah,
the whole thing's
strange.
Weird. Today was not the... Today is like the sad day. Tomorrow, you turn the corner. And I thought Marchand did a good job of kind of, you know, sending that energy out there into the universe.
617-779-7937. Jay is in Massachusetts. Where in Massachusetts are you, Jay?
Yeah, I'm Western Mass.
Okay, what's on your mind?
No, I hear you guys talking hockey. It's always interesting. I love when you guys talk hockey. I love it out here. And, yeah, Bruins, it's interesting. The coach, I'm really torn on it. I mean, he had a great record. And the Bruins definitely overachieved. I thought they did good after they lost Bergeron and some guys. And they've done really, really well. And it's interesting. I think it's one of those times where it's like, hey, we'll see where this goes. I mean, it could go either way. Sacco's a good pick. But Bruins are a good team. I think they'll be all right. I just hope they can turn the corner here. But I think it comes down to players. You know, I hear what they said. They said they felt like they underachieved. It's tough. They like them. It's an interesting time. As a Penguins fan, we're not, like, far off. And I don't want to see the Bruins go down that road. I hope they can stay on top.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, too. I don't know why you want to see him stay on top if you're a Penguins fan, but that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Is that John Henry? He forgot which team he was talking about and which city?
Hey, I like those Penguins. Pretty good.
That's his radio voice.
Yeah, right.
Apparently he's got a burner voice type thing.
Don't go down that road. I mean, you wouldn't like it on that road.
It could go either way, but are they a good team? I don't know. I'm not so sure about it.
They should be. I mean, they're underachieving, right? If you're underachieving and you're right outside the play, I think
does the roster stink or are they underachieving?
I think they're underachieving.
Okay. So then why are we firing the GM?
Because, well, all right, there's a difference between the roster stinking and there being no talent on the roster and the players on the roster not playing well together and not being a good fit with each other. And I think there's a lot of that going on, too.
I credit, I think it might have been somebody in the Twitch chat yesterday brought that. They have talent.
Right.
Are they a team? And that was an old school Scott Pioli early in the dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
We're not collecting talent. We're trying to build a team. And he said it with a lot of arrogance. But there's truth to it, right? There's absolutely truth to it.
Absolutely there is. Adam Schefter.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Tomcat will join the show right after this.